we've been in a series called A Thrill of Hope, and our prayer is that during Christmas and the entire month is that you experience the thrill that is Christ, and that's what Christmas is all about. It's God sending his son, man, stepping out from heaven and coming to save us, and I'm so glad that he did. He was fully God, yet fully man. And we serve a God who is alive and well. If you can't tell by that story, I'm going to share some more things with you today that I believe that that you're going to really find and discover how real God is. And this has just been my prayer, everybody. Before I get into the message, I just want to say this, that I've just been praying, we've been praying too, that maybe you've had this moment and maybe you haven't yet, but there's a moment in this service today that before you leave here and go on to your Christmas plans and whatever you may be doing, that there's a moment here today that you, man, you feel God. You know he's here. Or a moment that maybe it's a song or a part of this message that speaks to you. So we just are praying that God impacts you in a powerful way today. Amen. I know that this can be, I believe it's one of the most hopeful times of the year, but it can also be one of the most hopeless times of the year for people. I think that through the year, we can kind of brush under the rug our problems and the things that we've went through, but it seems like sometimes through the holidays they get highlighted. And the pain kind of gets exposed, and it's amazing to me. I was thinking about a great movie that you may have seen. How many have ever seen It's a Wonderful Life? Yeah, it's a great movie. Anybody else think it's a great movie? All right, I thought it was a great movie, and so one that I've grown to love, and it's a good one. And I love really one of the first lines in the movie and one of the ending lines of the movie. And old George Bailey, and so love George. And by the way, it's on tonight. And so if you've never seen it, I made Bethany never watched it up until last year. And yeah, so I told her, I said, babe, I don't know if you're saved until you watch. No, I'm just kidding. Just joking. Just kidding. But teased her, and we had a great time watching it. Now she loves it. So I just encourage you. I think it's on tonight at 8 ABC, along with your White Christmas. So any other information you need to know, come here at Elevate City, all right? And so how many glad for that White Christmas, by the way? Come on. Yeah, so very excited for that. But he says this, so... my favorite line is at the beginning, and Clarence is the angel. He's the second-class angel. He's about to get his assignment. Clarence is pretty funny. And the superior says to Clarence, he says, you've got to help this guy, George Bailey. Got to help him out. And Clarence responds, he said, well, why? What's wrong? Is he sick? And the superior responds and said, no, it's worse than that. He's discouraged, and he's attempting to throw his life away. So it goes through the whole movie, and again, go watch it. And at the end of the movie, I love this line that he cries out. He's on the bridge. It's a great scene. It's snowing. And he says, I want to live again. He's kept saying, I want to live again. And then he says, please, God. And he looks up and he says, I want to live again. And I just want to encourage you today that this is God's hope, that he wants you to live. He wants you to live with strength and hope and might, and he has got amazing plans for each and every one of us. And my hope today is that you find in this Christmas, on this Christmas Eve, that hope of Christ. If you don't have it, or maybe you've fallen away from God for whatever reason, that today, man, you come back, you recommit your heart to the Lord because he loves you so much. Amen, everybody? And so I want to read part of the Christmas story here in Luke chapter 2, and it says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Can I tell you one of the things that I love so much about this story is that God sent his gift of hope to a hopeless generation, that he sent his son Jesus to in a very hopeless and a dark time. Have you ever thought about this, that Christmas comes in the darkest part of the year? Ever thought about that? Is externally it gets darker earlier, and also for internally for people, it can be a very painful time of the year. Stats tell us that December's unfortunately the most depressing time of the year. It's also the highest rate of suicide more than any other time of the year, and I think what people need is hope. I believe what they need is an encounter with Jesus Christ. Amen, church? And so Christmas reminds us of this.
And this is my hope today, no matter where you're at, that God can show up in our darkest hour, no matter where you're at or what's happening, and perform a miracle and change everything. Amen. And so in this series, we've really defined what hope is, that hope is the confident expectation that is based on something solid. And then last week, we talked about it's hard to hope twice. We talked about the source of hopelessness, that I asked the question, how many have ever hoped for something? And of course, everybody raised their hands, and how many have ever hoped for something and it didn't quite come to pass like you hoped it would? And then how many know it's hard to hope again for that? And so it's hard. And so part of the sources of hopelessness is simply our past. I believe our past can either become our greatest enemy or really our greatest blessing. And the reason why I say that is because we can either continue to live in what was behind us or celebrate what God did behind us and continue to move forward in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? And so I just want to encourage you with that this morning. And so I want to, for the next just kind of couple of minutes, talk about the source of hope. And because we need to look for that hope again in our lives. Job was in a place that he wasn't really sure where to look. And the Bible says this in chapter 17. He said, where is my hope? Can anybody see any hope for me? How many have ever kind of had that own question? Is there any hope for me? Like, is there any hope for my current situation that I'm facing? Am I going to be able to get out of this? And there are a lot of places that you can look. Some may be looking for temporal things. Maybe it's even, come on, that Christmas gift that you're hoping they listen to, you know, that somebody in the family listen to, that you get that tomorrow, you know what I mean? And you can laugh, it's okay, all right? But here's the thing, people oftentimes think that hope or the things that are on this earth is what's going to bring about the hope. And that's just simply not true. Hope in and of itself has no power. You're only as strong as what you're anchored to and what you're attached to. We've been talking through this series that we've got to be anchored in Jesus Christ. While the winds and the waves of the storms of life could be blowing, man, when you're anchored, everybody else may be shaking, but you can be in a place of being unshakable. But you can only have that in a relationship with Christ. It's amazing, just even when the world around you and things are happening, and how many know there's a lot happening in the world? But you can be at such a perfect place of peace because of the source of that hope is Christ in you. And saying, man, I know it seems bad, but man, I've got this peace on the inside of me, really not really focused on it because I know God already has this thing. I don't know how it's going to work out, but he's going to take care of me and he's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of our family. Are you with me this morning? And so that's the hope that we can have in him. And then 1 Timothy 6 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us for everything with our enjoyment. If you've ever tried to fill the emptiness, the void in your life with earthly things, you know you just come up short. And you always have that want for more. And I think that's the thing I want to point out about the last part of that verse is God wants you to enjoy the journey. And I think for too many times that we just kind of live this life in such a way that, man, I just hope I can get through another day. I just hope I can make it. And we just kind of go in survival mode. But God has not called you to survival. He's called you to abundance. He's called you to thriving. He's called you to live again. Amen? That there's more to what we have seen. And so the Bible says this in Romans 15. And this is a verse of scripture that I began this series with that it's really just been my Christmas prayer for you and your families. And I want to read it to you. And it says this, may God, the source of hope, fill you this Christmas with joy and peace. For some of you, you need to laugh again. For some of us, we need peace again. Are you with me? Then you'll overflow with hope. So I want to spend just the next couple of minutes of talking about Christ, and he is the hope, and he also offers this hope in some different ways that I want you to see, and I recommend that you embrace all five of these. And the first one is, maybe one of my favorites, is his presence. If you're following along in your notes, you can jot that down. It's God's presence. And the Bible says this in Exodus 33. It says, the Lord replied, my presence, and that word presence in the Hebrew, I looked it up this week, is the word panim, which means face or the face of God, will go with you. And I will give you rest. Your relationship with God should never be a struggle. It's not meant to be endured. It's meant to be enjoyed. And that's the fellowship that he wants to have. And when you trust God and you put your hope in him, God can help produce real rest in your life, real strength in your life. Are you with me? And that's one of the reasons why I love to just worship, is because worship, and when we worship, it's getting the focus off me and my problems and getting the focus more on God and how big he is. Because as I focus on God and how big he is, my problems all of a sudden become a lot smaller because I realize how big he is. Are you with me? And so, it's being in his presence. It's enjoying being there. It's like, in other words, I love being in the presence of my wife. I mean, no, I better, right? And that would just seem like an expectation. We are married. That is the expectation. But man, there's nothing that does my heart more than when we're together. And I love my kids, and they're awesome, but I love my wife a lot more. Because one day, they're all going to turn 18. And one day, they're probably out of the house. And guess who's left? Mom and dad. How many know we need to keep working, right? Keep working on our marriage. Keep growing our marriage. Have date nights. Do all those things. It's we love. That's the thing about it, is we go through tough times like any marriage does, and arguments, sure. But I'm telling you, man, there's nothing that replaces being in the presence of one another. And let me say it this way now. And there's nothing that replaces being in the presence of Almighty God. And there's nothing more that God wants to do than have his presence in your life. Not just in some things, not just on a Sunday, but every day of the week. Because I need God every day of the week. Like, I just can't do this life without him. And I don't want to imagine doing life without him. And that's why we're not supposed to do life alone. We need God and we need people. Amen? Isaiah 40:31, it says, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not faint." Some translations say those who wait on the Lord, which simply means to stop and to put your hope in God. And for some of us, this Christmas season, this year, maybe even 2017, maybe this has been one of the most difficult years for you. And I don't know where you're at, but I know the reality is that each and every one of us face things in our life. For some, maybe this is your first Christmas without that loved one. Maybe it's the first Christmas because maybe a marriage ended. Maybe it's our first Christmas, things just going through our families, or maybe we lost a job this year. Wherever it may be, I just want to encourage you this morning. You're in the presence and the company of God, and he is here, and he is with you, and I can't think of a better place on Christmas to be surrounded by a bunch of people that love God and love me right here. Amen? Because that's the church. That's the church, and that's the church that Christ pictures for us. And for me, 2017 has not been one of my greatest years. I'm really excited for 2018. I'm really pumped for what God's going to do. There's going to be some just audacious, incredible, miraculous things, and I'm believing big because we serve a big God, because I went through some hell this year. I don't know about y'all, but I went through some stuff. Went through some stuff physically, and my God, am I glad to get out of this year. But I'll say this, but I'm still thankful. Because I just learned, and I've learned that whatever is happening to me, God is doing something in me. That even in the midst of whatever I'm facing or I'm going through, I never forget. I've learned to get beyond the question of why is this happening to me. And I've learned to get to the question of what are you trying to teach me, God? And I believe that's where God's trying to take us. And so there's something I learned, and I want to just kind of give you this kind of a nugget, I guess. I don't know what to call it, a sub point, whatever you want to call it, it's fine. But it's underneath this, and it's this, because this is the way I felt this year, and this is what I know about God. When you hear God's silence and feel his absence, trust his presence. Trust his presence. When you feel like, man, I'm not hearing God, I don't feel him, can I just tell you, he made the promise to you and I, he would never leave us. So I'm never in a place where God is not present at. Wherever I'm at, I know that he's with me. Even though if I don't have the goosebump or the tear, whatever, I trust that he's with me. And I'm just telling you, I just feel like somebody needs to hear this morning, he's with you. Amen? That's why you hear the term Emmanuel, God with us. That's his name. Amen? Here's the second thing, and that's God's promise. Second source of God's promise is his word and getting the word inside of you. I'm telling you, it's, you know, a lot of times we hear, man, I know I should be praying, I know I should be reading the word, but man, God wants you to get passionate about it again. Maybe 2018 is a year you get passionate about his word again. passionate about prayer. Again, it should be enjoyed, not endured. That God wants to talk to you. He desires to show you things. Are you with me? And so I just have some scriptures I gave to our team to give you just some examples because, listen, you're going to go through storms and you're going to go through tough times. And you're going to go through difficult times in your life that you need to know more than just what you know. Does that make sense? You need to know more than just what your experience has taught you. There are seasons, and even in my own life this year, there were parts of the season I went through that the only thing I had was this, of his promise. I wasn't interested in what I knew in my years of ministry. That meant nothing to me in my darkest hour. What meant everything to me was his promise. And so in different areas of your life, if you're fighting for freedom, and there's so many scriptures, that's why you need to understand, whatever you're facing, God has a promise for. And I get real tired of the world trying to paint my God like he's, you know, some wimpy savior. My God's a stud, man. He's all powerful. You with me? Like, I serve a God that's got it going on, swag and all. That's who I serve. He knows what's up. Y'all with me today? Talk to me. I know it's Christmas Eve, but you can talk to me, all right? And he's got a promise for everything. That's who he is. And I'm so glad that whatever storm, if I need freedom, there's the word for it. Come on, keep going, guys. There you go. If I feel alone, he's with me. When I'm struggling, come on, to surrender, and I got pride in my life. And there's so many more scriptures. I just wanted to give you examples. If I got anger that's going on, there's the word. I'm telling you, for everything in your life, what you and I need is not more of what the world teaches, more of what I know. We need more of his word in us. You tell me, listen, let me tell you something that's going to produce hope in life. It's getting the promise of God in you. Every year, I always start off the year, and I do it. It's now just a habit, a discipline. I do the one-year Bible all the time, every year, because we get busy. And a few years back, been several years now, I came into it one of the years, and I don't remember what year it was, and that was my prayer. I need more God's word in me. It's not enough just to preach and all those things. But man, I want it in me. One-year Bible, YouVersion Bible app. I'm getting ready to finish up the year. It's awesome. And that's the cool thing. 10, 15 minutes roughly is what it takes you a day. I think all of us could find it. I just encourage you. No pressure. But I always encourage our church at the beginning of the year. We have our 21 days of prayer and fasting coming up in a few weeks. Man, just to have that time. Listen, 2018 can be the greatest year of your life if it's the greatest year of your life spiritually. And so that's up to you. Amen? Colossians 3 says, let the peace of Christ keep you in tune. How many like when instruments are in tune? How many appreciates our worship pastor, Cody LeMay, making sure the instruments are in tune? Come on, somebody. How about my boy Danny up on that bass, by the way? Woo! Man, that stand-up bass, man. Let's go. Anyways, let me continue on here. Just have to brag on our worship team for a minute. And it says, keep you in tune with each other and step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. Cultivate. Man, I like that. Cultivate thankfulness. Man, I think we need more of that, to need to be thankful. Amen? I've been in parts of the world where they're thankful for a sip of water. I have fed babies across the world, parts of Africa and India that just craved the littlest of water I had in a bottle. Man, we need to cultivate thankfulness. I just think it's a great word. It says, let the word of Christ, the message. Everybody shout the message. Message. All right, now shout it like you mean it. The message. Message. There you go, church. Have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct, direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Come on, sing your hearts out. I like that. You know that God likes it when you sing your hearts out. I think it's great. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Lamentations 3, verse that I just wanted to read again. I think it's a great verse. We read it last week. It says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. And you can't read the rest of that verse if you don't understand the first part. Yet this I call to mind. When you're in your darkest hour, your most troubling season of your life, remind yourself what God has done. You may not be where you want to be, but you better thank God you aren't where you used to be. Amen, church. So it's I call to mind. Man, for some of us, we were once strung out on drugs, but we're not anymore. Right? We were once struggling with this issue, but we're not anymore. Thanks be to God for his love and his power that saved me from myself. And no matter where you're at, there's no such thing as too far gone. If you're struggling today and you've got things going on with your life, I'm telling you, that's the hope that's in Jesus. Listen, doesn't matter what happened last night. What matters is your moment right here with God today. He came to make all things new. So we're focused on today because that's where God's focused on, is your heart right here and how you move forward. Amen? I'm so glad for a God that doesn't beat the wounded when they're down. So am I also thankful for a church that doesn't do that. We have a what I call a no stones environment here. We don't throw stones, man, because we all got issues. We all got stuff. We protect that culture because we all got stuff that we're working through. Am I talking to anybody today? All right. Number three. I need to read the rest of that verse. Sorry. It says, because of the Lord's great love, I do want to finish it. We are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Number three is an unexpected source, and that's God's process. God's process. You have to embrace the process. It's not always easy. I believe the season that we're in or the process in which we're going through, you're not going to get a lot of rah-rah. Woo, going through the process. How you doing, man? Going through the process. Doing great. Things are great. How's that process? Oh, man. Woo. Partying. You want to join it? You know, I just don't hear anybody just getting too rah-rah about it. Yeah, just went through the darkest hour of my life. How are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like nobody gets excited about the process. But I'm telling you, it's the process that makes you into the man or woman that God has destined you to be. You better be thankful for the process. God will never put you in a position until you're ready. So you got to go through the process. Got to learn how to be faithful. Got to learn how to honor God and do that. My kids are going through a process right now. Got three of them. Ashton's getting ready to turn 9. Should be 9 in February. I got Judah, 3, going on 25. And then, Bethany, I'll tell you, I'm right. And then we got Braxton, 1, who will be 2 in January. And we got a big word right now we're trying to teach our kids. And that's the word share. How's that in your house going? It's going well. Maybe you can tell us a few things. And it's hard, my God. Because we got sometimes, and I told my kids, I prepped them, I said, I'm going to share this with the church because I think it's worth sharing. It's going to help somebody. All right, Dad. You know, and so, but they, you know, Ashton, Judah, just, man, they just, you know, just kind of says, Lord, have mercy. And so Bethany trusted me with all three of the kids a few weeks ago, and it's always a great honor when she trusts all three. It's a big deal. So the home, she trusts me, especially when she comes back home, that it's all going to be right and set up neat and nice. So, and I did well. She'll tell you I did well that day. But she went out, just had some girl time by herself. I don't even know. It's just, ladies, y'all need some time by yourself, don't you? Okay. Maybe you don't. I don't know. I thought you did. At least my wife does. All right. And so, guys, maybe that's the thing to do. That's maybe a Christmas present. There you go. All right. And so, but anyways, she went out, and I had all the kids. And you know, we're playing, and man, they just, gosh, they just start going at it. Ashton and Judah, and then Braxton just kind of watches, and so he feels left out, so then he just gets in it, and then Jesus, and then finally I said, enough, daddy's calling timeout on the play, all right, we're all going to sit down, we're going to watch this little TV show, all right, so we're all sitting on the couch, so we're going to watch The Grinch, cartoon version. Have you seen The Grinch? All right, there's a great lesson in The Grinch. I said, y'all going to watch it, we're going to have fun watching it, aren't we? So we watch it. I'm like, man, I really like the cartoon version, Dad. It's great. I said, I told you. How you all, you guys remember his heart grew 3 times that day? You all remember that? So don't forget that as I tell this story. So we get ready, get baths and everything, get ready for bed. We're upstairs getting ready to pray and really trying to help the kids learn how to pray. Braxton's my favorite probably right now because, you know, he's almost 2. So I said, Braxton, you want to pray? He says, pray. I said, yeah, you want to pray? Like, you want to say anything else? Pray. Okay, that's great. You're off to a great start, son. Thank you. It's great. That's right. He does, and it's great. So then Ashton prays, does a great job, and then gets to Judah. I said, Judah, you want to pray? He said, oh, yeah. That's exactly how I said it, too. And it's Deveth. You know what I mean? It's not Jesus. It's Deveth, you know. And he said, Deveth, I just thank you for my mom, my daddy. Keep him healthy and strong. He always prays for you guys, too. I love it. And he prays for Braxton. He said, pray for the church. I pray, bless the church, keep church strong, healthy. I said, go ahead. And he does it all the time. Bethany will tell you, he prays the same thing. I love it. And so I noticed he hadn't prayed for his sister yet. I'm just kind of eyes open. I'm like, because I'm going to tell him, don't forget your sister. And he says, and Jesus, and I pray for Ashton. And I just look at him, and he's intense. He's kind of got that face. And he says, and I pray her heart grows larger and larger. Amen. I thought, man, he learned him a lesson from the Grinch. Don't tell me you can't learn something watching the Grinch. My three-year-old just picked it up. Let's go. Oh, man. I was proud of him that day. I laughed so hard, I should tell you. And made a laugh hard, didn't we, baby? Oh, man. But you got to embrace it. Romans says we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. I think we need to redefine our troubles as ways that God is helping to develop character. God cares more about your character than he does your comfort, because you're taking your character into heaven with you, not your career. And it's important to remember, all right? 9 years ago, put that picture up. This was me. It's not one of my better pictures. Wouldn't go in GQ or anything, but but nonetheless, that was me 9 years ago. I can make fun of myself. It's okay. All right. But it was a very serious deal that happened. It was around Thanksgiving of 2008 that I got really sick, and doctors couldn't diagnose what was going on with me. And just infection just, I mean, rid my body, and was in double pneumonia, chest tube. I mean, it was bad. And went into a coma for many weeks and on life support, and hope was looking, it was dwindling. But I will say this, my wife, and thank God for your church family. My church family in Columbus, Ohio at that time, and other church friends and pastors, I mean, just praying, fasting, believing God for a miracle to wake me up and to do a healing in my body. And my wife really felt led to really pray and ask God, and joined with everybody else to pray for a Christmas miracle, that on Christmas Day that I would wake up. And so they prayed, and that's what they called out before the Lord. And 9 years ago tomorrow morning, the Lord woke me up out of a coma that I was in for many weeks, and it began a spiral of his miraculous healing that doctors couldn't diagnose, couldn't give the answers for. And all of a sudden, God just brought his hand on the entirety of that situation and began to heal my body. Doctors said it was one of the most wicked things they saw, didn't really know how to treat it, but God, everybody, but God. And when you're anchored, you have a hope and knowing that we serve a God, come on, who is alive and well. That's why I'm here to just shout it from the rooftops that we have a God who is alive, he's well, he's living amongst us, he ain't dead, it ain't no fairy tale, baby. I serve a God who is strong and powerful and alive today. And he's working and he's moving. That's who he is. And that's who he is to me. He's my healer. And so whatever you need today, he's your healer, he's your hope. Number four is his purpose. I'm wrapping up. Romans 8:28, we know that in all things, God works for the good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. And I love sharing this with people, because if you want hope, you need to find your purpose. You need to find your purpose. If you don't know why God created you and you don't know your purpose, then what hope is there? That's why I'm very thankful that as a church that we have the growth track, that this is something we're very passionate about helping people discover their gifts and their purpose in their life. And we're here for that. That's part of our job, the church, to help you with that. So, and I encourage you, at the first Sunday of January, we start it. If you've not been a part of that, man, I invite you to be a part of Growth Track with us and discover your purpose. Because if not, we get into survival mode. And then we wake up not knowing why we exist. And I'm telling you, in tough seasons, you're going to know why you need to be here and be reminded, because one of the greatest sources of hope is knowing that God has called you and he's got a plan for your life. And I just want to say this, that every single one of you, and I've heard this through the years of ministry, well, Pastor, I was an accident. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. You were made for purpose, by purpose, by God. He knew exactly what he was doing with you. And I'm just telling you, every single person under the sound of my voice, God has a purpose that God has placed within you. And you may not know what it looks like yet, but that's okay. That's part of our responsibility in helping to pastor and to lead you. Are you with me, church? And so none of us are accidents. We were made by purpose for a purpose. Amen? Amen. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. Hope comes from his presence, his promise, his process, his purpose. And then last one is God's place. He has a place for us, and it's heaven. It's heaven. Honestly, I think we put way too much stock into this life. We have only a short window of time here on this earth. And that's why Scripture talks so much about he put eternity in our hearts, Ecclesiastes 3:14. Because he wants us to think about what's next and think about the impact that we're having here on this earth. He wants us, and I just think that we just need to be reminded there's more to this life than this life. Amen? Jesus said in John 14, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. 1 Peter 1, God has reserved for his children the priceless gift of eternal life. It is kept in heaven for you, and God in his mighty power will make sure that you get there safely to receive it because you are trusting him. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though the going is rough for a while down here. Listen, gang, heaven and hell are realities, but hell was a place that was never meant for us. Heaven is. And we can have an eternal security in knowing that, man, when we breathe our last breath, we can be in heaven by having a personal relationship with God. It's personal. It's not about religion. It's not about joining a church. It's about having a relationship with God, and not just eternal security, which is really the most important, but also hope every day. To make the decision that, man, I'm not doing this life by myself anymore. I need Jesus in my life. And I want to encourage you, you can have that free gift today. Would you bow your heads and just close your eyes for this moment? I want to pray over you. Father, I thank you today for hope. Hope alive. That God, that we live again. And Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for just the quickening of your work with us right now. Lord, I know all over this room, every one of us have needs. Every one of us have different issues in our life, and we need you. And so, God, I thank you that you are our helper, our strength in this Christmas season. May we experience the hope that is in you. And right now, with just, again, every head bowed, all eyes closed, I want you to just forget about the person on your right and your left. This is a moment between you and God right here. If you're here today and you say, man, Kyle, I need that hope. I need that hope, and I realize I've been doing this without God. And man, I've been in that dark hour, or maybe you're in it. You've been trying to do it by yourself. I'm just telling you, he's here for you. He loves you. He wants to be in a relationship with you. Maybe you had a relationship with God. Maybe you've known about God, but maybe you just haven't been living for him like you know you need to be. And you say, man, I just need a fresh beginning today, a fresh start. I just want you to know he's here for you today. He loves you. God sent his son to die, to pay the price for our sins so we didn't have to. And then he rose again 3 days later. We serve a God who's well, who's alive and well. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, though, if I'm talking to you in just a moment, I'm going to count to three. I just want you to slip up your hand and say, man, that's me. I need that hope that's in Christ. I need that relationship with him. And I'm going to just encourage you to know that, man, we're not going to embarrass anybody. We're not going to ask you to come down to the front or to stand up, but just to put your hand right up, right where you're at here in just a moment. I mean, this is between you and God on the count of three. One, two, three. All over this place, you say, that's me. Yeah, gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Praise God. Yeah, gotcha. Awesome, awesome. Praise God. Awesome. You can put your hands down, man. Many, many people. Incredible, incredible. I want to lead you in a prayer, and we're all going to pray this prayer together. And if you raise your hand, just mean this from your heart and say this. Say, Jesus, I give you my heart. My life belongs to you. My life is not my own, but you are my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my yesterdays and make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God a great big hand for a bunch of people? Come on, who just said yes to Jesus? Come on.